Welcome to It's No Secret, a podcast for Kiwis who want their money questions answered.
Ready, steady, go.
This podcast will answer the money questions you may or may not have on your mind. We'll talk to real Kiwis and share truths about our own financial lives.
Both the successes and the failures. Because the truth is, there is no secret to achieving financial freedom.
Hello and welcome to It's No Secret. I'm Christine.
And I'm Kat.
And today we are back with another money Q&A with Christine and Kat. Even though we just said our names.
Just in case you thought it might be other people answering the questions. It's us.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got three questions for you today, and they are primarily focused around sort of some basics, understanding.
To do with investing?
Yes. Yeah. And some key concepts that everyone should hopefully grasp or have some basic understanding of. So let's get stuck in. Number one.
Great.
Foundation of investing. What is compounding?
Fantastic question. The internet tells me.
Yes.
Compounding is the process in which an asset's earnings from either capital gains or interest are reinvested to generate additional earnings over time. So what this basically means is any earnings from an investment, let's use like a share fund, for example.
Yep.
So one of the kernel funds, NZ20 fund, pays out quarterly distributions for you to benefit on the compounding of or to compound your returns. You would basically need to make sure that any distributions received from the NZ20 are reinvested into additional units in NZ20. And the compounding effect is then you earning more earnings on that portion that's been reinvested. Yep. Does that make sense? So if I talk about it from a numbers point of view, let's say you invest $20 and you earn a dollar of like distributions, you then reinvest that dollar and you now have like $21 invested. Mm-hmm. You're from then on in going to be earning more on that $1 of earnings, and that's what the compounding effect is over time.
Yep.
So compounding is basically just you're earning money on the money that has been earned beyond what you initially contributed.
Yeah, nice. And so this is why it's important to reinvest distributions?
Correct. Yep. Particularly if you have no need for the money that's in that account or that investment, like if you have no cash flow requirements from that fund, then absolutely you should be setting an investment up with basically automatic reinvestment of either dividends or distributions so that every time you have earnings paid out, it's automatically going back into buying more units or more shares in that fund or company and therefore continuing to be invested.
Nice. And compounding is basically like, you know, we talk about the magic of compounding.
Yep.
This is literally the magic of investing.
Yep.
Right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. The underlying kind of basis of why you do it.
Correct. Yep. To exactly
earn money
right.
While on money, on money, on money.
On money. Exactly. Exactly. And this is like completely tied to the whole like time being your number one factor and your best friend in investing because, of course, the results of compounding improve the more time you have.
Yep.
So you do want to be reinvesting your earnings for the longest period of time in order to maximize your chances of success and growth in that investment.
Love it.
Yeah.
Great. Next question.
Yeah.
I'm starting to invest and should I save up one chunk of money and invest that all in one go, or should I regularly invest a smaller or more frequent amount?
Okay, great question. I think it depends a little bit on what platform and investment option you're using. That's kind of the first thing. Mm-hmm. But if we just go to like the straight theory, the general theory is money going more frequently into the market in regular intervals is going to yield you the best result because to the question we literally just answered, more money is going to be in sooner.
Yep.
So Vanguard did do this comparison like a couple of years back where basically it was like, should you invest, let's say you had one lump sum to invest that you've saved up, like $20,000, should you invest all of that on one day or should you kind of spread it out into the market over time? And they basically said you need to invest it all on one day because it's invested sooner, if that makes sense, for longer. Mm. But people like to drip feed it in or do what's called dollar cost averaging because then it rides out the market ups and downs that happen over that period of time and it just makes them feel a little bit better. But in the question that you've asked, it's kind of the reverse of that, which is if you're saving from your cash flow, should you save in your bank account until you get to a certain threshold, say $1,000, and then invest that $1,000, or should you just save like your $20 a week straight into your investment. If the platform and investment option that you're working with is not like cost prohibitive, you want that $20 a week going straight into that investment.
Yeah, nice. Very good point about transaction fees and
yes
around like, does it cost you to buy those investments when you do that? Or
I think it's like, you know, a little side question to that is if you're assessing various like platforms or ways to invest, you need to think about what your investing behavior is going to be, i.e., you know, are you investing one lump sum that you've saved up or that's come from like a house sale or an inheritance, or are you investing from cash flow? Are you doing a combination of the both? Like, what's that, you know, behavior that you're going to be doing, and then make sure that you pair not only a great investment option, but a platform that can facilitate that behavior at a low cost.
Yeah, nice. It's very easy to also get into the timing the market kind of mentality around this as well, right? In terms of like
save. Yeah, then, oh, market's up. Oh God, no. I'm going to wait for a crash. Like,
And then also applying that to like trying to do currency.
Exactly. Whereas if you're in the habit of just savings straight into the market or investing straight into the market regularly, you're going to set yourself up for the highest chance of success.
Nice. Love it. Mm. Great. Next question. What happens if you take money out before quarterly distributions are made? Do you miss out for the quarter that you withdraw your money from, or is it paid on a pro rata basis?
Great question.
Thank you. I didn't write it.
Really confuses people. So we're going to talk about this in two different examples. So the question that you've asked talks about distributions. And so that everybody's clear, distributions are typically paid out of a fund. So the fund structure being, you know, say a Kernel investment fund or your KiwiSaver fund owns lots of different underlying companies in that fund. And the fund receives dividends from the companies and then pays out distributions, which are the collective amount of dividends received from the companies. So before we talk about funds, we're going to talk about how this would play out if you had an individual share, because I think it makes a bit more sense to people. So let's say you own some shares in Air New Zealand. And we know that companies typically, they have like set dividend times based on earnings and reporting and, you know, end of financial year and different quarters, whatever that might be. So typically most companies that are paying dividends would have a like annual year end dividend and then what's called an interim dividend that would be in 6 monthly intervals. Those dividends are at their discretion, right? Because Air New Zealand has projections that they have made internally as to how their business is going to go. But there are lots of different factors that mean that, you know, incomes come in from ticket sales or it's not. And those things have been added to their balance sheet over time and throughout kind of that 6 month period, if we're thinking about the lead into, say, an interim dividend. So over that 6 month period, various different, you know, pluses and minuses will be happening to that company's balance sheet that will be making the value of that company higher and lower, also factoring in what people's perception is of, you know, the future value of that company, and therefore their share price will be changing with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, cool.
So let's say, you know, you're go through month 1, 2, 3, 4, get to month 5. They decide that, they're at what's called like the kind of strike date where they decide whether or not they're going to pay a dividend. They announce that they're going to make a dividend payment, and you'll have like an ex-div date, which basically means you, at the ex-div date, you need to hold shares in the company to be eligible for that dividend.
Okay. That's after the strike date.
So they'll basically say a date basically being like, okay, we're announcing that this is our dividend. If you were to sell your shares before the ex-div date, you wouldn't get the dividend, you know, 3 weeks later. But if you were to hold shares at the ex-div date, you will get the dividend. Now, what's happening in practicality? Where is Air New Zealand paying that money from for a dividend?
Their bank accounts?
Like their company bank account, right? Like their earnings.
Yeah.
So when money goes out of their company bank account, what happens? Arguably their balance sheet reduces. If I'm in New Zealand, I've paid money to you, my balance sheet goes down. I have less money in my bank account. You as the investor now have money in your bank account. So the value at which the share was valued at pre the dividend payment includes the amount being held with Air New Zealand.
Yep.
So if you were to sell your shares in Air New Zealand, you're potentially selling at a valuation that includes the money being on our balance sheet, right, as a company.
But
if you were to then pass the dividend date, be paid the dividend,
and then
the value of Air New Zealand is adjusted on the basis that they've paid out some money, and you then sell your shares, are you better or worse off or the same?
It's hard to say. I guess it does it depend how much the dividend is.
Potentially in terms of nuance,
but
you're no better or worse kind of off even, because you in the prior example had sold your shares at a valuation where we as Air New Zealand were worth more because we held the money versus if you sell after we've paid out the dividend, you've got the dividend in your bank account and then you're selling the shares at a potentially slightly lower share price. But if you sum those two amounts together, net, net, same result.
Yeah, got it.
Now, someone's going to listen to this and be like, can't, or so many other things could happen. And that is true. But the point of the example is to say into like simplistic kind of terms.
Yeah.
When you then take that to a fund level, the same thing is happening within a fund. So the fund owns, let's say, 20 companies in the NZ20 over a quarter because distribution frequencies, because they hold so many companies, distribution frequencies are more frequent, i.e. quarterly rather than every 6 months because all those 20 companies will be paying different distributions at different times. And generally speaking, a fund, particularly an index fund, won't want to hold on to that cash. They'll want to get rid of it or get it reinvested, right?
Yeah.
So more frequent distributions. Yeah. So we're on quarterly. So throughout that quarter, so let's just say if new quarter, actually we're about to have a distribution payment across the Colonel funds next week. So great example. So right now within the funds, there will be an amount of earnings from each of the underlying companies that is sitting within the fund. So let's say that the current unit price of the fund is $100 that's sitting within the fund. Next week, we decide to pay out a distribution of $1 per unit.
Yep.
So $1 goes out to you, but those earnings have then left the fund because they've gone to you, right?
Yeah.
So the value or the unit price of the fund will reduce by the approximate amount that has been paid out. However, you're no better or worse off because if you sold this week, you'd be selling at the higher value. But if you sold next week after the distribution had been paid, you would already have the distribution earnings in your pocket.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Where people probably get confused is if you're on distribution reinvestment, as opposed to like if you had distribution taken as cash and you can see it in your wallet, it makes a bit more sense. But what happens in a distribution reinvestment is you own more units for a slightly lower value per unit. Own more units, slightly lower value. So per here unit, you say own 100 units at a value of $100. Over here now, you own 101 units at a value of $100.
Yeah.
Your dollar equivalent is the same.
Yeah.
So you're the same.
Yeah, right. Okay. So,
but the way in which you have received those earnings is different.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Great.
Love it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay, I mean, cool. I'm probably going to repeat it back to you, but I think I got it. Yeah.
So if we go back to the question, because the question was, what happens if I take money out of a fund before the quarterly distribution is made? So if you were to take money out of the fund in this week, knowing that a distribution is going to be paid next week, you will just get paid out at the current unit price. So you will sell your 100 units, and let's say they're worth a dollar each, you will get $100 back. You don't miss out on anything because in the unit price that you sold at this week is already factored in the earnings that will be paid out next week.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just how you're receiving that money. And in the current situation of selling this week, you're receiving that as full proceeds from your redemption built into the unit price. But if you were to sell out next week, you would have received some either in the form of a cash payment or additional units.
Yeah.
And it's net net the same outcome.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Any questions?
No, not really. Yeah. I think contrasting, I mean, your example with Air New Zealand helps to understand like how it works. Yeah.
And then you just think of the flow of money.
Yeah.
Like, where's the money coming from and where's the money going to?
Yeah.
And then if you put yourself into that equation, you can kind of logically figure out that like you're no worse off.
Yeah. It's just literally
a different time and a different form. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right. But you're still net in the same position.
Yeah.
You're not penalized.
No.
And I think people worry about that. They're like, oh, I'm going to miss out on something. It's like, you're not missing out on anything. You're not missing out on anything because it's already included in the value of what you own.
Yes. Nice.
Yes.
I didn't know that. So that's good.
Fantastic.
Nice. Love it. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Great.
Very insightful. Good.
Investing 101. Yeah. Q&A done. Short, sharp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pumping them
15
out.
15 minutes. There you go.
Here we go. Awesome.
So if anyone has any investing questions, feel free to DM us at It's No Secret NZ on Instagram.
Love the Q&A.
Yeah. So good. It's actually, you guys are loving the Q&A based on downloads. So if you
hit us up with some more questions.
Yeah, exactly. It always helps us actually answer what you want to know. So
Also love the simple questions because I think everyone can relate to them from a like refresher of the basics.
Yes, definitely.
Good starting point for everybody.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
cool.
Awesome.
So until next week, we will say see you later.
Bye.
Bye.